It's loading, so we can.
Good morning. I have two presentations back to back. Both presentations are based on the same project and the same data set. However, they address different issues. So I'll try to do the two presentations, cut down on the repetitions in order to concentrate more on the analysis and the results. I would like to acknowledge my two co-authors, Dr. Michelle Kiley from NICHD and Dr. Ayman Mohandes from George Washington University. The first presentation deals with the utility of CART analysis in assessing the impact of the behavior and the psychosocial intervention in resolving multiple risk among high-risk pregnant minority women. I have no relation to disclosure. The project is part of the NIHDC initiative. It's a congressionally mandated research project to reduce infant mortality in minority populations in Washington, D.C. Through cooperative community-based studies and interventions. We have these collaborative institutions, Children's National Medical Center, GW University, Georgetown, Howard University, NICHD, and the National Center on Minority Health and RTI International. The project is funded by the NICHD. Project DC Hope is one of the studies in the DC initiative, and it's a randomized clinical trial to evaluate healthy outcomes through pregnancy education. We call it DC Hope, in minority women in Washington, D.C., those with at least one of the four risks, cigarette smoking, environmental tobacco smoke, exposure, depression, or intimate partner violence. Women were approached for a screening when presenting themselves at the prenatal care clinics, six clinics. We have 1,044 eligible participants, African Americans, at least 18 years of age, enrolled by 28 of weeks of gestation, mainly in the first, second trimester, English speaking, and they received prenatal care at one of the six participating clinics in Washington, D.C. between July 01 and October 03. And they reported one of at least one of those four risks that I mentioned earlier. Women were interviewed about 8-9 days after screening, being eligible demographically and risk-wise, and two follow-up interviews were conducted in the second and the third trimester. Women were, on average, 25 years of age, 72% single, 70% have at least high school education, employment 36%. The mean age, gestational age at recruitment was 19 weeks, and 78% of them received Medicaid, and 82% received WIC. This is the distribution of those eligible women, the 1,044, by the four risk factors, cigarette smoking, environmental tobacco smoking, depression, and IPV. And you can see the overlap of these four risk factors during pregnancy. Upon the completion of the baseline interview, women were randomized either to the intervention or to the usual care. And in the intervention, they received the intervention, the educational and the counseling, cognitive behavioral intervention approach based on the theoretically grounded models for treating these risk factors. Intervention sessions were delivered at the prenatal care sites. Four sessions were minimum and eight were considered optimum. The women attended on average four sessions, plus or minus three, standard deviation, and the average session was about 36 minutes plus or minus 15 minutes. The objective of this study is to assess the effectiveness of the integrated intervention on these four risk factors using CART analysis, and to identify the socio-demographic factors that may interfere or enhance the efficacy of the intervention. Also, we identify those subgroups of women who benefited most from the intervention or who benefited least in order to have healthy pregnancy and improve their pregnancy outcomes. The main hypothesis of this presentation is whether the integrated behavioral intervention during pregnancy is effective in reducing prevalence for these four multiple risk factors, and whether socio-demographic factors may interfere positively or negatively with the efficacy of the intervention. We're using the CART methodology, which is a non-parametric approach to identify those variables and to seek the hidden structures, rank the predictors according to their relative importance in addressing these risk factors, and also identifying those socio-demographic subgroups of pregnant women with high risks of any of these risk factors. If we look at the overall impact of the intervention, we see that looking at these four risk factors, that the intervention, if you look at the p-value, was not successful in reducing significantly the cigarette smoking. For the other three variables, it's if you consider the p-values there, was successful somewhat better than in cigarette smoking. But if we try to look at a CART analysis to look at those variables, if we look first at active smoking overall, we have about 15%, but you can see that, for example, if you go down the tree, that those with at least high school, the smoking percentage was 11% versus almost 24% for those less than high school. And if you go down the tree, then you find that the intervention was successful and significant among those women with at least high school pre-mavers. You can see that the percentage of smoking for those women in the intervention only 1.3% versus almost 10% for those in the usual care. The odds ratio is 0.12, and it's significant. If you look at the environmental tobacco smoking, again, if you go down the tree, you find that those women on Medicaid and who were recruited prior to 26 weeks of gestation benefited from the intervention. The exposure to tobacco smoking, 56% versus almost 67%, and it's significant. So you can see that there are certain subgroups, regardless of the overall impact of the intervention, that benefited from significantly from the intervention. If we look at another scenario, the impact of the intervention on each risk, controlling for not just the socio-demographic, but also controlling for the other risk factors, you can see here that women, although it's not significant here, but you can see that women in the intervention, those who had no exposure to ETSE benefit from the intervention. You look here for those women that are not smoking, that in the intervention was 51% versus almost 62%, and it's significant. So the intervention was significantly successful here for that group of women. If we go to the another risk factor, depression, we will see that women that with no exposure to intimate partner violence in the intervention was 30% versus almost 40% in the usual care group, and it's significant. Similar results here that for those women depressed, it's about 9% versus 15% intervention versus usual care. If we look at the impact of the among only the intervention women and we look at the number of intervention sessions that they are attended, we find, which is compared to the earlier one for the overall result, that if those who were smoking, cigarette smoking, that if they attended at least 4 sessions, they about have the chance of the being smoking at the end of the intervention, 22% versus 12%, and it's significant. So it's the number of sessions that they attended that makes a difference here with respect to cigarette smoking, as opposed to the overall impact that we saw earlier. That's not quietly the case with respect to the other 3 risk factors. However, the still attending more sessions, you achieve better results of the intervention. So if we look, try to look at the specific sociodemographic groups among those women and controlling for the sociodemographic characteristics and the risk factors and the number of the intervention sessions, we can see that if we look on the left side, for those women with the premembers, that the intervention sessions, those who attended at least 4 plus sessions, actually their chances of continuing smoking at the end of the prenatal care period is 0% versus 15% for those who did attend the 4 sessions. Same thing for the environmental tobacco smoking. You can see that the difference is here. If you are not smoking, that's 51% versus 81%, and it's significant. For the intimate partner violence, if you're depressed, you're more likely to have exposed to intimate partner violence than those who are not depressed. So you can see that the CART was able to identify those subgroups of women that benefited most from the intervention. So although the overall impact of the intervention varied across the 4 risk factor, CART was showed the intervention efficacy in addressing those risk simultaneously and identified those subgroups of women and their characteristics who benefited most from the intervention and reducing the prevalence of these risks prior to delivery. Also, by this way, identify those subgroups of women at still at high risk that will require intensified intervention of that to achieve better results of the intervention. So CART methodology, while through this better manipulation of data and its ease for understanding, is proposed to be used for to supplement the convention parametric models, and it's recommended for social behavioral risk studies to assist and evaluate the intervention programs. Let's keep that. I'm going to go to my second presentation.